Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, as the Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. Today is Monday, August the 1st, 2016, at 8 p.m., and we're live this evening. Thank you for joining us. You listen to us on the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can also call in and join the conversation, and we had an open line tonight, and we invite you to call in, your comments and your input. Call in at 646-668-2636 and just press 1 on your keypad if you'd like to share and join the conversation. Amen? Amen. Well, what we're going to do first, we're going to open with prayer, and then we have a couple announcements, and then we're going to get into the conversation. Tonight we're going to talk about the importance of being transparent. You know, just wanted to share some insights about being transparent in our lives and about our past and our testimonies. Because there's different times in our life we may not be able to share our testimony. We want to be able to do that. And I believe that only comes with time of growth and walking in Christ and knowing how important it is for those to be able to know what you've been through, what God has delivered you from, what God has brought you through, and some of the trials and tests that we go through as Christians. As my believers out there, my brothers in Christ who've been in the body of Christ for a while, to share with others where God brought you from, I think is very important. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. And hopefully we have some callers who would like to share with us. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be reading from 2 Peter, chapter 1, starting at verse number 10. And the Word of God says, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied unto you." Father, today we say thank you, Lord God. We thank you for growth. We thank you for spiritual rewards. We thank you, O God, for the ongoing blessings that you put forth in our life, God. We ask, O God, that you continue to protect us, continue to guide us, O God. Father, tonight I'd like to reach up and call out some of the men, oh God, some of the brothers, the husbands, fathers, and sons, God, that may be struggling, oh God, struggling in the Christian walk, oh God, struggling with the burdens of life, oh God, struggling with the things of just living their life, just being able to live their life in a normal way and being content, oh God. So, Father, any man, oh God, who maybe tonight, oh God, might be thinking about just giving up, I pray, oh God, that you would send the ministering angels unto them, God. That's something that was said tonight that would encourage them, oh God. That, God, that tonight a word will be spoken that will encourage the brother, oh God, and bring him back from the edge. Father, we're praying, oh God, for our leaders in this country, oh God. We're praying for the pastors, elders, deacons, and all those who serve in your kingdom, God. And, God, for the lay person, for the body of Christ, oh God, for your arms and your legs. Continue to bless us and watch over us and cover our families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, I have a couple of quick announcements here. We have a couple of things going on here I want to share with the listening audience tonight. First, let me give a shout out to some of the ministries here and locally here in the Glen Burnie, Baltimore area. Some of the ministers and pastors who have supported the show and supported men's ministry and have been part of some of the events and fellowships that we've had in the past. So I'm going to start first with my home church, City of Hope International Worship Center in Columbia, Maryland. Senior pastor is Bishop Joseph A. McCargo. I'm going to give a shout out to Pastor Ian Edwards from Winning Souls Evangelistic Church in Pasadena, Maryland. Pastor John Watts from the Kingdom Life Church in Brooklyn, Maryland. Pastor Joseph Powell at the Covenant Life House Ministries in Hanover, Maryland. Overseer Maurice Cullenwell from Uplift Through the Word Ministries. Pastor George Sharps and Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship in Hanover, Maryland. The Apostle Etta Banks and New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. She's over in the Woodlawn area of Glen Oak, Maryland. Pastor Chuck Brooks from Graceway Church in Baltimore, Maryland. To some of those pastors and churches, we just want to give a shout out for their support and their and you're here at Issues Christian Men's Talk and our Man Up events. And I'm just going to give my listeners on this opportunity to understand a heads up. We're working on and planning on doing another men event soon. Right now, we're still in the planning stage, but we believe we're going to have one before the end of the year, before the new year, before the holidays start. We're putting together a plan to have one soon, hopefully, prayerfully. God leads. Amen? Amen. I wanted to share some upcoming event. At Jesus Lives Ministry, Pastor George Sharps, they have their annual couples retreat in March 23rd of 2017. We wanted to invite you to come to that and reach out. You can call the church. Oh, man, I just lost their phone number. It was right in front of me a minute ago. But you can reach out to us on the Facebook page, and we can get that information to you. But that's Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. You can look on their website, and hopefully before the end of the show, I'll be able to find their number, and I'll share that with you. But they have an upcoming couples marriage retreat in March of 2017. Amen. So we encourage you. Me and my wife personally have been on their last one, and it was a blessing. It was encouraging, and a lot of things were very helpful to strengthen and encourage marriage and just be able to continue to support marriage, because we know today in this culture, the definition of marriage is changing drastically. Seems like the farther we go, the more they're changing it, the more it's being accepted, laws are being passed, and there's a lot of things going on. It's affecting the morality and the spirituality of America. A lot of people are saying a lot of things, but if we just look at it, it's an attack. It's an attack on the Word of God, it's an attack on the church, and it's an attack for who God is. So this is how Satan works. He gets the minds of the people. And I was recently talking to a brother recently, and the things that the devil's doing and the schemes that he's playing, these things are not new. They were tried before to attack God's people and attack God's word in the earth. So us as Christian men, Christian leaders in the body of Christ, we have to be able to stand and give an account. You know, give an account. Yeah, a lot of people do it different ways, but I believe we're the most effective way, though, that we know what we believe and why we believe it, and we're able to engage the culture one-on-one. Sometimes evangelism, soul winning, and even, you know, talking to people one-on-one, we're more effective than sometimes shouting it from the rooftops and some of the other things that we try to do to get the attention. But I believe our one-on-one testimony is really what can help people understand the gospel and see it lived out. Talk about tonight. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to start tonight here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm going to start this as we have been starting in some of our past shows. We're going to give a definition of a man, so we all know we're starting at the same place. And what we have here, I had gotten this from a book I was reading in the past called A Man of God by Dr. Charles Stanley. And in that book, he describes a man is one who understands and accepts the responsibility for the development, for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitudes and actions in his personal life, his home life, his vocational life, his social life, and his spiritual life. And those are the areas where I believe a man can just be determined and be judged by and be able to represent and see that he is maturing as a man, seeing that he has reached that level of responsibility. Because once we take that responsibility, that is a sign of a manhood. The only children children have no responsibility until responsibility is put on them. And that definition is that's our working definition. Amen? Amen. So tonight one of the things we wanted to talk about tonight was, you know, about being transparent. And in that conversation, we're going to touch on a little bit here about, being able to be transparent in a testimony, to be honest, to be forthright and up and coming, you know, because transparency is one of the things, you know, where a lot of the problems we get when, especially for those of us who weren't raised in the church. So I'm going to start there. You know, if we weren't necessarily raised in the church and we come to faith late in our life or, you know, in our 30s, you know, if you're over 30 and you came to the church and you lived a life because you didn't know God, you didn't try to know God, you didn't read scriptures, you didn't know no godly people, you might go to church on Mother's Day and Easter and maybe Christmas and that type of thing. But then it comes to a point when we come to the understanding of who God is, when we truly say, when our heart is open, our mind is open, that we read the Word of God and we understand the Word of God, and that's through the revelation of the revealed knowledge of the Holy Spirit, that we can read the Word and be able to comprehend and understand it and gain the wisdom from it. And that comes at a different time for a lot of people. I mean, you know, it's us going to come into a place where God is really starting to change and move our lives. And some of the things that we're coming, things that I wanted to really be able to emphasize, when we talk about transparency, that, you know, when we're talking to people, we have to be able to say, you know, this is what God drawed me unto. This is what I saw in the church. This is what I saw in people. This is what I read, the Word of God, understood it, and that's why I wanted to bring it into my life. You know, sometimes we give people the presentation of the gospel as a list of do's and don'ts, a long list of things that you shouldn't, don't do, don't do this, don't do that, and that's not necessarily what that salvation is based on. It's a heart thing. It's a heart condition. It's an understanding. And once we come to that point where we believe, that's where we have that real transforming power that God can work in us. I wanted to read something real quick here. I was trying to find it. I have an old paper Bible here, so I'm flipping through as I'm talking, because I wanted to be able to share the scripture with you, where it talks about in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. It says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's one of the things that's one of those old Romans road scriptures, that once we understand what that means and what it means, that once we believe and we confess that we believe who the Bible says Christ is, it's as simple as that. And then as we are growing, as the area of sanctification, we come along, and then there's going to come a time when we have to be really transparent of our past. Some of us have the scars. Some of us have the record. Some of us have the things. We have, you know, we have children out of wedlock. We have a lot of things in our life. We have a past history. If we were delivered from alcohol or drugs or even womanizing or stealing and all those things that we were living our life with, there's going to come a time in this Christian walk, no matter how long we've been saved, that we're going to have to be transparent, and there's going to be opportunity that God's going to use our testimony and the transforming power that he did in our life to share with someone else. And that's why I think it's very important as we grow in Christ, as men of God, as women of God, that we continue to be able to be transparent in our testimony when the time comes, you know, because I've been in places and services where people, you know, they're sharing their testimony in a more boastful way, and the things that somehow it was, you know, it was a glorious time, and then I came to Christ. But unless we share it in a way that people understand that we didn't know, we didn't do any better, and that there was consequences for all our negative and ungodly behaviors, there's always consequences. And I think that's where we have to come to the point when we talk about transparency. Because sometimes we've been in the church so long, we might be 5, 10 years, and we, you know, we had a joke one time in the men's group about, well, I'm 10 years out of sin, but you know, so now it's all forgiven, cast in the sea of forgetfulness. But then again, then we start to carry ourselves hypocritically in a way like then we like the sin never happened. We never did any wrong. We never were disobedient to God, because the Bible speaks about, you know, they will only know us by our works and the things that we've done, but we tend to leave out the testimony of how we got to where we're going. Because there's always a man out there. There's always a brother or sister out there who's struggling or may have struggled with the same thing we struggle with early in our salvation. Because, again, I don't want to get too theological about it, but we can be saved and still make mistakes and still make and slip and fall, you know, and do some things because the flesh will rise up in us. But, however, we will stay on course. We repented from that thing. And one of the things that I think is very important that we share about people, how that God used other people in our lives, that God used people that held us accountable. You know, we have one of our favorite scriptures we use, especially amongst the men, is Proverbs 27:17, where the word of God says that iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his friend's countenance. And that's where a man, you know, that's where we express encouragement and moral support, that we have those around us. And that's one of the one things we have to be able to parent about, that my salvation and the transforming power that God used, he used people for that. First, he uses our pastors, he uses our teachers, but then it's also some folk we had to build relationships with other folk. And sometimes I see that as being, especially with the brothers, that it takes, it's two things. Sometimes men have facades and put up a masquerade to other, when we first engage men and first rehearse to reach out to them. But we, sometimes as us in the body of Christ, we have to be consistent in reaching out, because we all have those barriers. We put up that safety net because we don't let everybody in. We don't let people in right away. We don't, you know, deal with necessarily emotions, or we want to build. It's building a trust. It's building a relationship. It's mentoring. It's discipling. And it's all those things that we have to be on purpose about, on how we approach people to be able to build those relationships, because we never know. Because God has put us here. He didn't put everyone, every Christian and every man to be a pastor or leader in the church. He could have saved us that we would have saved one more. You know, I always talk about, you know, who ministered to Billy Graham, who ministered to the T.D. Jakes, who ministered to the speakers that we know now that are great teachers and theologians, or even your pastor, for the brothers in the church. Just imagine, there was someone who ministered to them that was able to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, that converted them so that God could use them to reach you, to now teach you, to stand before you as the word of God. So it's that's one of the things we have to consider when we talk about how important it is to be transparent, to share our testimony, to be accountable, and to be able to speak life into people from where we came from. One more thing I'm talking about, accountability. You know, there's a lot of temptation in this world, you know, because Satan tries to do a lot of things. And what we can look forward to, one of the reasons that we have accountability caught, is someone that, again, that we can be transparent with so that Satan can get a foothold. We need someone that we can help us to share our burdens, that can come alongside us and do spiritual warfare. You know, we need a brother around that we can count on. And when we're facing the temptation, you know, because even for the brothers, if you're coming out of something, if you're coming out of womanizing, you're coming out of alcohol, drugs, you know, money, gambling, all those things have negative influences in your life that now God has asked you to clean up, that you want to move away from, because it's the sin. We can recognize the sin in our life because we know the things that hinder us. And once we come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and coming to the knowledge to want to live to please him, and as we study the word of God and see that there's certain things God has that we are required to do because we have loved him and confessed that we believe in him, that Christ died on the cross for our sins and paid that price, and because of that relationship and we love him so much, there's certain things in our life that we want to start to do differently. We want to act different. We want to be different. But then there's times also the flesh, that the enemy sees that, and the enemy wants to try and control us and pull us back and make us go back to what's familiar, go back to those sinful ways, those evil ways, those lustful ways, because our flesh will rise up on us to do a lot of things. And this is why it's important. And I think that we should consider to have accountability partners. And let me say this about accountability. Accountability partner is not the person that you just see on Sunday. And you, for 6 days out of the week, you don't reach out to them, you don't talk, you don't meet outside of church, you don't meet outside of church events. You know, my pastor, my first pastor said one time, he said it like this: if you driving if you driving somewhere in the middle of the night, who can you call who's going to come help you change a flat or come get you in the middle of the night? That you can pick the phone up, you make one call. Back then we didn't have cell phones, so he said if you had just had a quarter to make one phone call, who would you call and know that they will come get you? And that's what we have to think about that and take that in spiritual realm. There's someone you're going to call when the temptations rise up in you, when you get frustrated, when the pressures of your life get to you, are you going to do something, go back out, or are you just being stressed out? You know, a lot of people go through a lot of things, and necessarily seeing them on Sunday doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean they're not going through. They may be going through even when you see them in the Sunday service, but unless you're in relationship with them, unless you reach out to them, unless you know them, because we call to have fellowship and koinonia with one another. And I think that's one of the most important things in the body of Christ, especially in men's groups that I see, that a lot of brothers might be around a lot of people, but a lot of men are really alone. And that's where the enemy gets in, the enemy pulls them back, and be able to speak to them because they don't have anyone else speaking in their ear. They don't have no one giving them encouraging words, sharing the word of God with them. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Spahr, and you can call in at 646-668-2636 if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Spahr. We encourage you to call in. Also, we want to encourage you to go to Facebook page. You can go to Facebook. You can friend us there. Also, we're posting a lot of updated information there on upcoming men's events. And I wanted to share one here while we take a break from the conversation. We have an upcoming prayer time in Baltimore, Maryland. It's going to be Adopt the Corner on Thursday, August the 7th. It's being sponsored by the Carter Memorial Church in Baltimore, Maryland. And they're going to be out on Sinclair and Moravia Road on Thursday, August the 4th. The time of prayer, time of fellowship, and time of engaging and praying for that community. If you have any questions or need more information about that, you can call 410-752-6123. So we encourage you to come out with the brothers in prayer and come and engage the community. You know, we can do a powerful thing together. There's a lot of things. If once we come together, we can accomplish more together than we can separately. And again, we have a unity of the body of Christ. You know, one of the things I wanted to share also about, you know, the unity and being able to come together as men, that's one of the things that we have here at the Coalition of Ministries to Men, who are the, we are sponsoring the Man Up events that we have, that we have our common ground in the body of Christ. Common ground is Jesus Christ. Our past journeys and paths may have been different. They may have been, you could have came from a lot of things. Tonight we was talking about, you know, some people were raised in the church, others were not raised in the church. And our future is determined by God. All of us want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's our goal. That's our goal. Our goal is not churches and buildings and thousands of members. And it's our goal is to hear, well done. And for that, sometimes we have to be content that we are fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for our lives and for the kingdom. And once we become kingdom mindset, we can be that. There's people that's connected to us and that in our bloodlines, our spiritual bloodlines and our physical bloodlines for our families. And they're going to benefit from our walk of faith. They're watching us. They're seeing us, our children, grandchildren, cousins, brothers, sisters, nephews. You know, especially I'm in a certain place because I came to church. I came into the body of Christ and came to faith in my mid-30s. So there's folk who knew me before, and they may see Christ through me because they see the change and the transformation that my walk with Christ and living the Word of God can be a light to them, because we're called to be salt and light, and these are the things that we're to do. So we have to understand sometimes that our lives are not lived in vain. And just as Christ's life on earth was not in vain, our lives are not in vain. So we have to be able to be those light, the salt and the light, and continue to press forward for the things of God and for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we support here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And we do that by sharing our ongoing men's events that we know about here locally and internationally. And that prayer corner is one of them. And also, you know, there's other churches. If you go there, they post different men's ministries. Matter of fact, we're on the beginning of the month of August. So I know in this next week, there's going to be two or three men's groups coming up. I'm just waiting for them to post the flyers, because I know we have Church of the Redeemed the Lord. They're on First Fridays. I'm just waiting for confirmation from that. And I also know there's Adasco's Ministries on the first Saturday. They have a men's monthly men's gathering. I'm just waiting for confirmation that that's going forward. But, again, if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page, you can see all those postings and any updates. And if you're having, if your church is having a men's event and you want to get the word out, we encourage you to go to our Facebook page and post it there. I'll repost it. I'll put it out there, and I'll announce it on the radio show here. And encourage brothers to come, because that time of fellowship, you never know that there's a time when a brother just might need to be around other brothers. And again, we need to network. The world networks, the world reaches out for material gain, but we want to reach out and network for and fellowship for the gain of the kingdom, just for the glory of God and for the kingdom. Because, you know, I might pick up something in a minute because I can use and take back to my circle of influence. And we all have a circle of influence. We all are accountable to someone in our lives. So I pray that you would go there, Facebook, and we encourage you to come out. Also, I have a second announcement here from the Jesus Lives Ministry. They have a men's retreat. They have a men's retreat coming up and also a marriage retreat. The men's retreat is in September the 17th, and 16th, 17th, and 18th. And we're going to the Black Rock Retreat Center in Quarryville, Pennsylvania. And that cost of that is $250 per. And last time I talked to the brother, it's two men to a room. So we encourage you to for that. We encourage you to come out and fellowship with us. And I have the church number here, because they're also doing the marriage retreat in March of 2017. The phone number is 410-859-8002. So, amen. We, as Jesus Lives Ministry, Pastor George Sharps and the brothers there, Deacon Anthony and Brother Al, I encourage those brothers and Elder Ray. I give those brothers a shout out because they got plans coming up in the next couple months here for fellowship and time to come together. So we continue to encourage them to join us, for you to join with us, because I'm going. I already got half my money paid, so I'm out. I'm in. I got permission from my wife and everything, and I'm rolling out. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, tonight we were talking about transparency, the importance of being transparent in our testimony and having someone in our corner. We were touching first on accountability, because I think that's one of the things that every man needs. You know, when we talk about transparency and we talk about sharing, and it's different if we're sharing it in the crowd, in the congregation, or whatever, but we definitely have to have someone in our life who knows us, who knows what we've been going through, what we've been through, who's there to encourage and keep us. And the only way we can really build that relationship, again, it's a relationship building, because we should be able to build one to another. The scripture talks about a lot of the one another in the Bible, on how we treat each other and the things we should do for each other and encourage one another. And I think one of the first things we have to get to, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, if you're a liar, lie no more. And we have to talk about being honest. Honest of where we're at, honest where we've come from, honest what we're struggling with. And that honesty and truthfulness is something that, you know, some people struggle with that. Some people have been jacked, you know, they've been telling stories their whole life. They don't even know where the story, where the lie starts and the truth begins, because their whole life was putting forth a certain image, putting forth a certain masquerade, putting forth a certain identity to folk that they go through things and there's no one they're really honest with. They're a different person at work. They're a different person at home. They're a different person with these people, different person with those people, that their true self is hidden in all of that. And that's one of the things I learned myself personally. I was reading a book called Man in the Mirror. And one of those things it talked about being, you know, living two different lives. You have one life around your Christian righteous folk, and you have the other life who you really are and how you really act. Around folk who don't know you're Christian, or you don't live like you're Christian. You act one way at home, or act one way at work. Act one way at church, act one way, you know, not in church. You could be in the mall or whatever, and you're a different kind of person depending on who you're around. You act one way around your pastor, and you act one way around the members, your people in the church. People in the church see you one way, your pastor see you another way. All right, there you go. So if I'm stepping on your toes, yes, I am talking about you. But an honest person has a habit of making accurate and trustworthy statements about life, self, others, and God. And we have to be honest. I mean, and pastors recently have heard it from several bishops and pastors preaching that sometimes people claim to be delivered, and they only deliver it because they haven't had an opportunity. All the opportunities are left them, but if given an opportunity, they would go right back from what they're from. So that's not truly deliverance. So, and we have to be honest with ourselves. I think that's the biggest thing. For us to realize who we are, it's just like coming to faith. If we were honest that we were sinners, that's the only way we can ask for forgiveness, repentance, and ask Christ just to help and shape us and mold us. Because unless we understand our true condition and what we need and why we need God, I think that's the first step in honesty. Then after that, God can start to work on us so that other people can, we can build relationships where people know that we are honest and trustworthy in the things that we say, you know, that our yea be yea and our nay be nay, and that we speak truth. Anything that we say is truth, and it is God's word, and we believe it, and it's how we live. And I think that's the real honesty, because we can say one thing, and if we're living another, those around us can see. Because, you know, we have, unfortunately, a lot of examples in the body of Christ of folk preaching one thing and living another. And when it comes to the light, you know, that does more harm to the reputation of the church. I won't say the reputation of God and Jesus Christ, but it's a reputation to the church body. And this is what the unbeliever sees, and it makes it that much harder for them to believe and come to the faith. But honesty is not expressing everything that goes on through your mind. Transparency in a person can be honest without being transparent. However, one can be consistently honest without a commitment to the truth. Honesty will at times hurt someone's feelings, but that does not mean that dishonesty is preferable. You know, and to me, that's something we have to really mull. We have to mull it over. We have to think that over. Because, you know, when we talk about being honest, you know, if I know folk who have that superficial honesty, you know, I'm going to speak truth no matter what, and they can't handle it. You know, that's not what we're called to do. But we are called to speak the truth of God and live the word of God, not our attitude, not our judging, not our critique and our chastisement of people and condemnation of people is not going to move them to Christ. Again, if we share the word of God, if we share Christ to folk in an honest fashion, again, this goes back to what I said about being transparent. If we are transparent in what God has brought us through, that transparency and honesty is what's going to help someone else be able to understand that God is real and God can deliver and change their lives also. That the sin in their life, and, you know, the thing that eat at them, the thing that we know that's going to destroy them and send them, you know, to stand before God in judgment and be punished for it. But if we can show sometimes in the transparency of our life and in an honest fashion also, because you can't, you know, I can't tell a brother, you know, I can't come to a man. Again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I can't come to a man and address his womanizing, his sleeping around. He's sleeping with a different woman every month, week, whatever. If my life is all jacked up and I'm still doing it, or I have lustful attitudes in my heart. You know, which you see a woman in the street, you're the Christian, but everybody's looking at the hips. So now, you know, the brothers around you are seeing what you're seeing. And if you say, if you let something slip out your mouth, your testimony now is shot. But if you live in a life that's honest and transparent, and you know, these things, but you see it differently, you don't have lust in your heart, because if that, for that particular thing, we're talking the sexual lust and what I see, that's a spirit. That's a lustful spirit. And as you deliver from that lust, these things won't affect you the same way. You won't slip. And then you're able to share. Because a lot of these things that men follow their lust, and especially when it comes to sexual lust, that's a good trick of the enemy. That keeps a lot of brothers out of church. And that keeps a lot of brothers in a place where there's continual ongoing crises in their life that bring on the pressures, that bring on them to respond because they're dealing with the pressures because of their lifestyle choices. You know, we all see it. We see these things as a chain reaction or something I like to say. You know, we see the root of the problem, but then we see all the stuff that goes on in folks' lives is the fruit. But the real root is, for that particular brother we're talking about tonight, is lust. And because he's chasing women, He's all these things, you know, I'm going to go into the whole thing because the brothers who are listening know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the brother that you have to show a standard of commitment. If you're married, showing a commitment to your wife, showing a commitment to your marriage, and be able to explain that to a brother on why you don't do what you used to do, or you don't do, you know, you don't have those desires, and you don't have that, you don't see it that way. You know, I was in a men's group once, I shared it, that we was in a men's group once, and there was an issue where a young lady came into the church dressed a certain way on a hot summer day. So I'll let you think about that. And in the men's groups, the brothers was like, you know, everybody noticed. But then in the men's group, they felt that it was okay to say the same things that the unsaved brothers were saying. And that's where at that time, we engaged about, you know, the lust spirit that you rising up in you. And the fact that you around other Christian men, you feel comfortable now talking about that sister's dress that was up to there and the cleavage and all the other stuff, means that you still are battling the lust spirit, that you're a married man, but you're still battling this lust spirit because you don't see that. And the thing that was given, was said, was, well, why you don't see her as a soul in need of Christ? And this is one of the things I talk about. We have deep conversation with a lot of brothers out here about ministering to women, and especially married brothers who call themselves ministering ministering to and speaking to women, single women, and that sometimes that can kill a testimony. That can destroy a testimony because people see them, you married, and every time somebody sees you, you are here talking to single women in the neighborhood, so-called hanging out tracks and all these things. But, you know, again, I know I've been in groups and I've talked to pastors, and we always tell brothers, you know, even I know pastors who will not minister to single women alone behind closed doors. There's some kind of accountability there. Again, that goes back to the accountability, being honest with the temptations there that Satan is trying to destroy you, but you have to be on guard for it. I share something that I read a long time ago about Billy Graham. I know the brother's the man is 90 years old now almost, but it was something he shared a long time ago when I was reading, I think I was reading one of his books, and he was saying he was never alone anytime, anywhere with a woman. And one of the examples he gave was that even if he was in an elevator and a single woman got in the elevator with him, he would get off the elevator. Now, when I first heard that, I was new to the church, and that sounded kind of extreme. But now, as I look back and think about what he was saying, and, you know, Billy Graham's been around a long time. So, you know, he said that, and that thing was the thing that he shared that wisdom. And now, how many of us would just not take the opportunity, no matter what? Because, again, it's not what you might say, or you don't do nothing, but where would the enemy put your mind? And if you know your weakness, and if you know you don't want to be in a compromising position, you know, you get off the elevator for the next one. Does that sound simple? But that's the same. But, again, that's where we have to look at our heart and our mind, understand that we have to deal with that issue, especially when we are in leadership. And even men of God, is because people are watching us. People are watching us. I can't say that the most. I can't emphasize that too much, that folk are watching our lives. Amen. So I'm going to get back on honesty. I got a little bit off there. But you listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And again, we're here every Monday night at 8 o'clock, every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. If you called in at 646-668-2636, you press one on your keypad, you can join the conversation, share your thoughts. You can also listen to the rebroadcast and the archive of all our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And also you can reach out to us on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men Talk Facebook. And also we have a Twitter account. It's Christian Men Talk, at Christian Men's Talk. On Twitter, you can communicate with us there, reach out to us there. We encourage you to reach out there, share with us. Again, if you have any upcoming men's events, you want to be a guest on the show, join us. We would love to have you come on and talk and be with us. Amen? Amen. Well, I'll continue on. Tonight we're talking about transparency. We touched a little bit about accountability. We're going to talk a little bit more about honesty. Because when we talk about the truth, you know, a person who knows truth, for whatever reason, it says differently that the Bible emphasizes the importance of making true statements about God. And the person, and sometimes we fall into the place where we're misrepresenting God, and God sees that as a liar. It's defined as a liar. If someone who denies that Jesus Christ is Lord, that, you know, trusting the lie, is consistent with forgetting God. And that's one of the things that we have to be careful for, that we don't misrepresent God, misrepresent who he is. Misrepresent who he is and to people. And sometimes that's just through our life. Again, we have to be able to live honestly. You know, it's one of those character qualities that's a sign of the spiritual work in our lives. You know, because since God cannot lie, it's written in Hebrews 6:18. Therefore, his presence in a person gives a rise to truthfulness. God's people are honest. And if God cannot lie, and we have the God of the Holy Spirit in the realm of the Holy Spirit living within us, we have to be a people of truth, people of honesty. And that, again, these are some of the things that we as men, we have to be able to look at ourselves, understand who we are, and be honest with what we are, who we are. And find find the obedience to the word is the only way we're going to get there, surrendering ourselves unto the Holy Spirit to get a new character. You know, it's one of the things we talk about a lot in some of the men's groups that we have is our character, you know, having integrity. You know, because it's something that, you know, I think about this a lot, that sometimes, you know, some people think that, you know, mankind is just, you know, naturally good, or naturally, you know, people are good. People are just basically good, and I've heard that sometimes, and, you know, why would God, you know, send us to hell because people are basically good? But that's not true, because naturally we're sinful, and we're sinful because of Adam's choices, because of the fall of mankind, and that means replications through the generations. But this is where the message of the gospel comes in. God made a way to reconcile us back, to redeem us back to who we were in before the fall. And this is why Jesus Christ came. When we look at Scripture, we look at all the Bible, that because of Adam's sin, we are naturally sinful and disobedient. You know, it's one of the examples the pastor one time gave at a sermon was telling me, you know, we look at a baby. When a baby is born, the baby's going to do stuff. They're going to do, they're born sinful. They're going to do stuff that, what is that? They're going to be selfish. They're going to cry when they want something. They want to eat. They want to get changed. They want to do something. They're going to cry. They're going to cry. They want what they want when they want it, and that's us. And that's what we do sometimes, even as grown adults. We are, you know, we do those things naturally. We're selfish naturally. We want what we want when we want it. And then we'll do anything we need to do. We'll manipulate. We'll lie, cheat, steal, all of those things. We'll put ourselves over anyone else. We don't know what living a sacrifice life means, because we are not naturally honest. But, you know, that's because we do those things, but when God comes into our life, we start to take on his characteristics. We start to take on the fruit of the Spirit. We start to take on some of the characteristics that through the Holy Ghost to change our lives, to change how we think, that we make better choices, that we seek to be more obedient to him. We understand what it means to have sacrificial love, a sacrificial life that we're willing to give to others, that sometimes we put others before ourselves. And as men, that's what we do as husbands and fathers. We are sacrificial in our love and commitment, you know, and that's a God thing. You know, that's a thing that God put in us. And that's the same way we treat each other in the body of Christ also. If we were to love one another, the scripture, I believe it's about 70 one another's in the Bible on how we treat each other. And that's sacrificially. What would I really do for my brother? Would I give my life for my brother? And, you know, I've heard that taught by some brothers that weren't necessarily biblically taught. That doesn't mean giving up your life like dying for someone. That's sacrificial love. Would I put the needs of someone else before mine? And that's one of the things as men, as mature men, we need to be able to get to that place. Because only a child wants what a child wants every time the child wants it, when a child wants it. But when we become men, are we willing to sacrifice for the needs of others? And that starts in our homes, with our wife, with our children. And then as we become men of God, the community, the church, the body, what are we willing to give? You know, we have to come to a place, but then again, to be in that place, secure in who we are, as men of God, that we are willing to give without getting. We're willing to sacrifice at times that we are in a place that we're willing to sacrifice. Because, you know, some brothers, they're in a place where they're caught up in whatever. Their lives are fully occupied. You know, we have brothers and men who are caught up in their careers of gaining financial goals and success and power, but they don't have time to, their lives are structured in such a way that they can honestly say, well, I have to work. And that becomes an excuse on why they can't do anything, because they're not looking at the big picture, and they're not what I call, because they're not living their life, they're living their life, live them. That they always are committed to something, and there's no time that they can sacrifice their time to help someone else or to do something else to help someone, encourage someone, because they always have to do this. They're rushing after to gain financial gain, gain power, satisfaction, those temporary rewards, and those can become sin. Those can lead you into a path of materialism, and that again gives the enemy a foothold. Because you did, again, I go back to our original thought earlier that there's a life out there that each of us has an opportunity, that they will only hear the gospel of God from us. And if we don't make ourselves available to be able to talk to them, to reach to them, to connect with them, that's another soul that is lost. You know, that was one of the things that I learned over the years, that we have to structure our life on purpose to be able to serve God, that God can use us. You know, I know a lot of folks and other brothers in church who like to say they want God to use them and want to use them, but God says, you got all this stuff going on in your life and you're not willing to get rid of none of it. And that's where we have to be able to look at our lives, look at what we're doing. Are we setting time aside then? You know, I understand working, I understand for my entrepreneurs out there, but then are we setting time aside to serve someone else? Are we being a serving part, you know, of the body of Christ? Because we see that a lot now in churches, that men, we whenever there's a serve time, we see women there. We don't see any men there. You know, we might see the pastor or we might see an elder, but do we see the men, the rank and file, the laymen, sacrificing their time to serve in all capacities? I know one time we had one of our men of events. We talked about this, and in the room, I asked the brothers, how many in your churches right now, who is teaching the children's church? Who is teaching the teenagers? Is it a man? And is he the elder? Is there any lay people in your children's church? Is there any, you know, any men that are engaging the children at a young age with the things of God? Are there mainly examples in the church? Not necessarily authoritative, because, you know, you have the pastor, you have your deacons, but what about are the other men in your church engaged in the ministry where people can see that there's men doing things? You know, how many men are on the usher board? And I'm going to stay with the youth and the children department, because those are the generations to come that need to see men in the church acting like men, worshiping like men, being taught by men. You know, we know now in the public schools, what is it? I think it was 85-90% of the teachers are female. So when they come to church, they see the same thing. And for some young brothers out there, young men, young boys, they have no male role models in the home, in authority to be able to speak to them, that teaches them things, teaches those, and gives them those spiritual foundations, those foundations of life, and someone they can glean from in masculinity. And we wonder why they're so influenced by time that they're influenced by their peers, because in their peer groups, it only takes one brother or one of their peers to stand up masculine, and he becomes the leader of the group, and then everyone clones off of him. They start to act like he does. They take on his characteristics because that's the first strong male role model they've seen. They might have came to church their whole life with their mom, but because there was no man there in the children's church, in the youth department, that could speak and shape and mold and speak into their life and mentor and disciple them, When they get to a certain age, now they roll in with their guy, and then they got a whole crew. I don't know what they call it now. You got your crew, you got your boys, you got who you hanging with. And then that's how it begins. They have more influence over them than the men of God, because we wasn't in place. We wasn't there to serve. We wasn't there to teach. We wasn't there to, what is it, vacation Bible school or whatever. You know, I've talked to men. We had the discussion with men's groups. I mean, every brother I know who's on a job, who works at a job, has vacation time. How many men in your church, and I'll say this for the pastors and leaders, do we like hold our men accountable for invocation, Bible school, summer program, whatever it is, to use brothers as burn some vacation leave and be physically in the church and participate? It's as simple as that. I mean, you know, I say that because I want to encourage the next generation. I want to encourage these brothers who may not have known and may not have been held accountable. That's what we talked about earlier about having accountability. We can't assume sometimes, and we can't also think people, you know, because, you know, sometimes as men, we look around and it don't look like nothing needs to be done. We good. It looks like it's all taken care of. But sometimes we have to be the leaders, the forefront. We have to be in the forefront, even though I'm not going to say it's so easy, but then that's why you got to throw your pastor and get him on your side. However, you know, we have to start to, as men, be more engaging in what's going on when it comes to local ministry. Because, again, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with generation. And that's some of the things that we're talking about tonight. So far we covered, let's see, transparency, accountability, and being honest. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 o'clock, every Wednesday night at 8:30. You can call in at 646-668-2636. If that's one on your keypad, you can share your inputs, insights, or share some wisdom, or you have any questions, we welcome you to come on. Also, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive of all our past shows. And also, you can go to Facebook. You can reach us on the Facebook page. It's Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. So we encourage you to reach out there. We have posts there. We have posts of upcoming men's events and a lot of the other things going on. We have devotionals. We share with other ministries, prayer nights, men's fellowships. So we encourage you to come and look there on Facebook and keep up with us. You can meet us out there. We'd be out and about in the community in fellowship with other churches. Again, this is the beginning of the month, so I know there's a couple of men's groups meetings coming up. They will be posted on Facebook real soon, so there'll be a confirmation from the men's leaders, and they'll be there, so you can reach out to us there and see those things. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we have about 10 minutes of this show left, and I just wanted to encourage the brothers tonight, because there's one thing that we really have to be as men when we talk about transparency. We have to just be honest first with ourselves, because God already knows. So we have to be honest with ourselves and where we are and where we come from. Again, you know, my thing is I have more compassion for the brother who comes to church in midlife, who's lived a life, but yet comes to see the knowledge of God and is transformed. You know, we have those who were born in the church. Again, those who were raised in the church, you know, they boast about it. But we want to be able to also, we have to check ourselves, because sometimes we become familiar. We take worship for granted. We take prayer for granted. You know, we get caught in a spiritual rut. Let me say that. And we have to sometimes look around and check ourselves and see where we are, see where our faith is, see what we're truly doing for God, see if we're really truly fulfilling the purpose that God has created us for and what to do in the earth, in the body of Christ, and where we are, and for our families. Because I know every husband living in line, if you take your wife for granted, I'll tell you right now, you're in trouble. So you have to, the same way you have to check your wife, you have to check your car, you have to do the same thing for your spiritual life. You have to be able to check your oil, check where you are spiritually, check where you are with God and what God's calling you to do, and then be able to make those changes, make those mid-course adjustments, those things that's going to draw you closer to him and help you to fulfill his purpose and plan for what he has for your life. Because we all have a plan. God has got a plan for all of us. None of us were born by mistake. None of us were just happenstance and just happened to be here because our mother and father, you know, felt kind of frisky. It was God, God's hand on our life. So we as men must be able to take on the role and responsibility that God has put us in as husbands, fathers, and sons. And those are the three greatest things we can be called, and it's also the three greatest titles that we can live up to that God had put men here to be the leaders in the home, the church, and the community, and to be able to stand in the midst and encourage one another. Amen. This is Issues Christian Room Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we're here every Monday night at 8 o'clock, every Thursday night at 8:30. And also you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Listen to the rebroadcast of this show and all of our past shows. And we have a couple people on the line. This is an opportunity to open line here. We have about a couple minutes left here. If you want to share anything with us, press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation, and you can share, and we encourage you. And again, please share this information with your friends, your father, your uncle, your brothers. We encourage them to come, to listen, to join us in fellowship. One more thing I'm going to do a quick reminder of, again, is upcoming men's event. This is the first one coming up that we have confirmation of. It's Adopt a Corner in Baltimore, Maryland. We'll be on Sinclair and Moravia Road on Thursday, August the 4th at 7 p.m. for prayer. We're going to have prayer in the neighborhood. The pastor there is Carl A. Pierce, senior pastor of Carter Memorial Church. The church phone number is 410-752-6123. We pray that you meet us there on Thursday, August the 4th at 7 p.m. for prayer, and come out and encourage us and be with us. Amen. I will be there. So we thank you tonight. We thank you for joining us. We pray that all is well with you, and continue to do those things that God has called you to do. Amen, and God bless you.
Heaven sent me a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural.